Take your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to start a new series tonight called Recipes for the Christian Life. Tonight, I'm going to introduce the entire series to you. I'm not going to give you all the individual topics, but I'm going to kind of give you an overview of what it's about. And I think it will help you. I spoke with, as I prayed a little while ago, I dealt with a banker today. I spent time with another businessman this week. Spent time with a couple pastors this week counseling. Oh, I've probably talked to 15, 20 people already this week in counseling and advice. Many of the things I counseled this week to those people, I use all the time in their recipes. As I talked to a businessman today, he said, "Pastor, you make it look so simple." I said, "It is. It's just a recipe. It's a formula." And honestly, that's what the Christian life really is. So let's dive into this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, follow along with me the first four verses. You just read quietly and I'll read aloud. "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a good soldier." Look at verse 2 again. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." Notice that's what you have heard. Then it says, "The same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." In other words, what you've heard about God, we are to teach to others so they can teach the very same thing to others to get what we have and what they have. Amen. In other words, God says there's a recipe to be used. You see, a recipe is something that can be repeated over and over and over again. And did you know that a recipe can be repeated by anybody? How many of you ladies at home have recipes that go back a generation or two or three or four? Raise your hand. It's amazing how some things have been, and Brother Larry does too, but we're not allowed to drink those things. I saw the giggle on his face. I knew what it was. Sherry sharpened her elbow up on that one. Pow! In other words, things that probably were made in some cases 100, 150 years ago can still be made the same way today. That's kind of hard. You'll laugh at this, but every year my wife has made fruitcake. It came down from my mom's great-grandmother from Germany. Now, it's not like what you would buy in the store, trust me. That stuff's not worthy for human consumption. But this is just an old-fashioned German recipe, and it's probably 125, 130 years old at least. At least. I mean, my grandmother died when she was 100. And it was her grandmother's. So that goes way back before the Civil War. And God knows how far it went back before then. Did you know when my wife makes it, it goes back that far? And it's made the exact same way with the exact same ingredients. And it can turn out the same way now as it did 150 years ago. As long as you follow the recipe, things come out the same way. That is what God is saying here. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same recipe, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." In other words, we are not to change it. We're to pass down the same recipes over and over and over. Now, I enjoy cooking. I enjoy baking. I've done a good bit of it in my time. My first job, from the time I was 16 till I was 19, I was a cook. I worked in a pizza restaurant. I was a line cook. At 17 years old, I was a line cook for Mr. Steak Restaurants in Canton, and I ran a double-sided galley and I would have as many as 7 or 8 cooks and sous cooks that worked in the galley with me at a time. I'm guessing, Dad, tell me if I'm probably pretty close. There was probably 40 to 50 tables in the restaurant at least. You're not talking a small restaurant, but it wasn't huge, but it could be busy. And when you're doing steak and lobsters and crabs and everything in between and children's meals and you name it, we did it all. I would run the entire galley for a whole shift at a time at 17 years old. I understand a little bit about cooking. I've cooked for hundreds. I've cooked for thousands. Every year I would work a restaurant, that I would run a restaurant at pastor school for Brother Hiles. And I would serve anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000 meals in that restaurant in 4 days. Okay? I mean, we're talking, I did a lot of food. I have fed volumes of people a lot of food. May I say something? One thing is for sure. You can't cook unless you can follow a recipe. I don't believe that God made obeying him difficult. I don't think God made it to where it was hard for man to please him. God did not make himself ooky spooky to where we have to search and search and search and search to find one thing to make him happy. It is not difficult for us to please God, and it wasn't difficult till man decided to mess it up. You see, it was not difficult until man added sin to the ingredients that everything got all fouled up. Sin is what caused the difficulty to the Christian life. It wasn't God who caused the difficulty. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, in the beginning there, you'll find out God and man got along just fine. There was no problem. But then sin entered and everything got all wonky. And since that time, things have been more difficult. Now, once sin entered, and by the way, that sin was man trying to be his own God. Listen to this. Once sin entered, man trying to be his own God, he has struggled to obey God's recipes, thinking that his own recipes are better than God's. Well, I can exchange this ingredient for that ingredient and it'll be better for me. I hate to tell you something. Don't mess with God's recipes. You cannot improve on God. It may turn out edible, but it's not going to turn out the way God wanted it. It won't be nearly as good as if had you done it God's way. When you bake or cook, following a recipe is important. I am not going to tell a bad story. But my wife one time, and honestly, I can't, and she's already got her nose curled. It's okay. But I can't even remember what it was that she made, but it didn't come out right. She made it a time or two, and it didn't come right either time. And I don't know if she was talking to her mom. I don't know if she was talking to my mom. I don't know if she was talking to somebody else. And she was just saying that it wasn't coming out right. And they said, well, what are you doing different than the recipe? And I don't remember if it called for margarine and she used butter, or it called for butter and she used margarine. But whatever it was, she had them backwards and it didn't come out. When you used the right stuff, it came out just right. It was just the slight variation of whether you used butter or margarine that changed the whole thing. Now, honestly, I can't tell you what it was. Doesn't matter. I know this. I've eaten things before that didn't turn out right that I thought were good. Okay, didn't look good, but I don't eat with my eyeballs. My taste buds are not right there, all right? I'm not one of these people that, oh, it looks so good. Doesn't look good till it's in the mouth chewing, amen? I've seen things that look good that didn't taste good. Some things look better than they taste. It didn't seem to be a big issue whether it was butter or margarine, but may I say this, it turned out to be a big issue. Now, the Christian life is the same way. We need to follow God's recipes and ingredients exactly for things to come out exactly the way he said they would. Well, I tried that once, preacher, and it didn't work. Then you didn't do it God's way. I don't even have to ask what you did. I just know you didn't do it exactly the way God said. Trust me, sinful man cannot improve on God's recipes. Sinful man cannot improve on God's recipes. Now, I'm one of those cooks that if it says use chili. Chili's one of those things that's a personal taste, amen? Now, my wife makes it, and she leaves the spices out and puts them right beside the chair where I sit. Because she likes that sissy chili that's tomato sauce with beans and meat in it. Not me. If it doesn't grab a hold of that thing hanging down in the back of your throat and snap you a time or two, it's not hot enough. I'll take the chili powder and take the little strainer lid off and go like that, and then get the other go in there. I put more in a bowl than she puts in the whole pot. You say, why? Because that's the way I like it. I don't like the sissy stuff. If I wanted tomato sauce, I'd get tomato sauce. Chili's supposed to be hot. Amen? Now, that's just personal touch. But that's why I got to be careful if I'm cooking for both of us. She doesn't like spice like I like spice. So I got to back off. Just keep a little extra on the side for me. Or if there's two halves of it, one do it right and one her way. And on we go. It's just the way it goes. You say, why? Because all of us have a different personal taste. But when it comes to following a recipe, you follow the recipe. Just follow. I'm not going to go there. I got to teach. You ready? So many things I want to say. Let me give you four things tonight. Tonight I want to share with you. Number one, God wants us to use recipes because our sin destroys what God wants for us. God wants us to use recipes because sin destroys what God wants for us. Notice what it says, 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. That's the recipe. The recipe is this. Others did it and taught you. You teach what they taught you to others, and they teach it to the next generation. But it has to be taught the same way, and it's to be the same things. There's a lot of churches out there that are second, third, and fourth generation, but they've changed what they're teaching and preaching. They're not preaching the same Bible anymore. They're not knocking on doors and going soul winning like they used to anymore. A fellow asked me today, he said, now you're Baptist. I'm an old-fashioned independent, just traditional Baptist. Sin-hating, call it by name, loving people, hell's hot, heaven's real, and believing knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus Christ. He looked at me and said, that's about as plain as you can get. I said, yes, sir. He said, and I said, don't have the modern technology, don't have the screens with the bouncy ball on it, still have songbooks, sing the old songs, and don't sing the rock and roll junk. He said, wow. He said, you're pretty bold about that. I said, I've seen God work. I said, and it wasn't emotion, it was God. I said, I'll take God over emotion any day. He said, I think I'm going to have to try your church. I said, good. So the recipe is others did it, we do it, others can do it. God is telling us exactly what that recipe is to be. sin has a way of killing man. I'm not going to take time to turn here, but you can. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. God said, you may eat every tree of the garden, every herb, everything that's there you could eat, except for the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, in the day thou doest it, thou shalt surely die. God didn't say you might. He said you would. The next chapter of the Bible. Here's man and woman eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because Satan was tempting them to do so. And Adam didn't keep Eve away from the devil to be tempted by the devil. Adam was standing right next to her when she did it. And he did it with her.
Right.
And everything went downhill from there.
Yes, sir.
Man's spirit died. It took the shedding of blood for the first time in world history. God had to explain salvation to them. They had to get saved. By the way, one of their children ended up killing another one of their own children. Why? Because of their sin. Sin has a way of killing man. I talked with a pastor this week. He said, preacher, I need help. I got to help somebody. He said, person in my church works with three people. One of them went off and killed another co-worker and cut the hand off of another one. How do I help him? I said, make sure he's in jail. And I began to try to help him. Since man has a dead spirit or an old nature, man wants to make his own recipes and adjust God's recipes to do it his way. Okay, I'm going to go back to a language that you understand. How many of you remember the old TV show, The Waltons? Remember the two old ladies that made the recipe? Right, Brother Larry? Got it from Brother Larry. Sorry, that was his grandmother. Brother Larry, it probably was. Can I tell you something? It came out the same way every time. You know why? They followed the recipe. That's why they called it the recipe. Well, that's not the only reason they called it that, but man has a dead spirit and an old nature, and man wants to do it his way, and then try to fit God into it. Isn't it amazing, those two old ladies? Everybody thought they were good Christian ladies. But boy, they drank the recipe in private. Man wants to be God. Man wants to decide good and evil for himself. Guess what? That's not a good recipe for success. Can I tell you what the end result of that is? Nancy Pelosi? No. That's a lot of what it is. She's trying to be the leader when she's not. She's taking authority that's not hers. By the way, she's guilty of a criminal act as of the moment she tore up those papers last night. Well, it's just a copy of the speech. No, it's not. Do you know that that is an official government document that was forth? It is the official copy for the House of Representatives. It's no different than Hillary deleting emails. It was criminal. See, what was that? Her saying, I didn't find one truth on one page. Oh, you didn't find the truth you wanted on any page. You're trying to be God. Don't get too mad at Nanny Cam Nancy there. We're guilty of doing the same thing with God.
Right.
I got to hurry. Number two, God makes getting back to him easy. Man complicates it. God makes getting back to him very simple. We complicate it. Folks, did you know salvation is real easy? Jesus came, lived a sinless life. He was born of a virgin. He shed his blood at Calvary. He died. He was buried. He spent 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He resurrected. He paid all of the debt for your sin.
That's right.
All you have to do to get saved is realize you're a sinner on your way to hell and trust Jesus and what he did, and that alone to take you to heaven, and immediately you're saved. I did it as a 4.5, 5-year-old child. Guess what? I've been saved for 47 years now. Can I tell you something? 48 years, something like that. I don't know how old I am, but it's been a long time. Can I really don't know. Can I tell you something? It was real simple that even a child can understand it. God made it very easy for us to get saved. All the work was done. All we had to do is accept it. It's not hard to get saved. It gets complicated when man adds ceremonies and rituals. Man starts adding, you got to go through catechism. Man adds, you got to go through all the sacraments. Is that the right word? All these big words that I never use. You got to have the certain colored flags out at Easter time. You got to light candles. You got to burn the palm leaves from last year's Palm Sunday and put them on the ashes of the heifer on this year's Easter Christmas Day. All that other stuff. Good night. And then you got to pay the priest after at confession. And then you got to say your Hail Marys. And then you got to buy prayer beads. And you got to pray through Mother Mary because she's the mother of Jesus, and she has to listen. He has to listen to her better because that's his mom. And then you can pray to the saints, and they can help you. Didn't make, help the saints when they went. They couldn't make it to the Super Bowl anyway. I thought that was pretty funny. I'm sorry. Can I tell you something? Man starts adding rituals to it. You got to have El Papa and call him Holy Father and dresses like Holy Mama. And gives you nothing but a holy cow. All the other things that they want to make you do. Can I tell you something? All of those are man-made. They're not God-made. God said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Period, end of discussion. Right. Not believe in, believe on.
Right.
Man adds feelings and motives. Now hang on to your hat for a second. Well, they say they got saved, but I haven't seen any change, so I don't know if they are. Well, who died and made you God? Well, they didn't cry. They didn't repent of all their sins. Sweetheart, neither did you, because you're running your fat mouth right now. You're full of pride. Repentance is not turning from your sin. You can't turn from your sin. You're a sinner. You're chasing your tail. You're going to be turning the rest of your life. Repentance is this. You go from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
That's good.
The act of getting saved is the act of repentance. You go from self-righteousness to his righteousness. Romans chapter 10 verses 2 and 3. For they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. That is the act of repentance. Repentance has nothing to do with sin. The only sin it has to do with is your selfishness, your pride, and you trusting yourself. Everybody doing okay? Now watch this. Well, they didn't have the same feeling I had when they got saved, so they must not have got it. They didn't lay on the floor and flip and flop and say all the motorcycle names backwards. So I got to feel, I felt it. Well, I felt a lot of things that wasn't the Holy Ghost. You grab into an electric wire one time that's live and you'll feel something, amen?
Amen.
You grab into a spark plug wire while it's running, you're going to feel something. Amen, Brother Joe? You used to have hair, yep. You can grab into a lot of things. Guess what? It'll give you a feeling, but it isn't necessarily God.
Right.
I've reached into an animal cage before and felt something, but it wasn't God. So man adds feelings. Man adds motive. Well, did they really mean it? Show me the really mean it meter in there. Who's the judge of whether they really meant it? If they're willing to do it, they meant it. According to Scripture, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved. Might be saved if they mean it enough. No, it says shall be saved. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun. Amen, preacher. Remember, God says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now watch this. God has meat and taters. Man wants Chateaubriand. You say, what's Chateaubriand? It's roast and potatoes. Look it up. Or as Brother Hiles used to call it, Chatter Brian. Man wants to dress up meat and taters and call it something, but it's still just meat and taters. Man wants to impress himself and others by how spiritual he appears. So he'll do all he can to look good. I've talked with three men this week. Three men in the last 7 days. All three men said, preacher, just seems like in the Christian life I'm going backwards, not forward. Seems like I try and I try and I try, and it seems like the closer I think I'm getting to God, the farther away I feel. I said, no, that means you're getting close to Him. Amen. What do you mean? I said, the closer to God you get, the more you see yourself as you really are.
Right.
I said, nowhere in the Bible where somebody got close to God did they say, look at me. They said, woe is me. The ones that say, look at me, were the Pharisees and the publicans. Those were your religious weirdos. They were doing things to be seen of men and not seen by God. You mean this is the way it is? I said, unfortunately it is. But you're growing. Scribes and Pharisees are man's religions. The sinner and the publican, God forgive me, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what God likes. Man's religious crowd were the ones who had Jesus crucified.
Right.
Notice it was the religious people that killed Jesus. Notice it was the chief priests and the chief priest's guard that came by Judas to the Garden of Gethsemane to deliver him to Pilate. It was the Roman church prior to the Catholics by 300 years. But it was the church and the state working together to get rid of Jesus. Boy, that's good stuff, isn't it? Jesus was taking down their wealth and the influence of people. He was taking away the power from those who had authority and power over people, and he said, I'm going to set you free from that because God has set you free. Much like what happened with President Trump in Congress last night. He put the power back in the people over the last 3 years, and they don't like it.
Right.
By the way, they're voted servants, they're not voted leaders.
Amen. You're right.
They're supposed to serve, not dictate.
Right.
Everybody in here ought to be on the phone to Joe Manchin's office throwing a fit. Say why? Because Joe Manchin is a traitor.
Right.
Anybody doing okay? You say, I don't think you ought to say that. Then don't say it. I will. Separation of church and state. That means the church shouldn't control the state and the state shouldn't control the church.
That's right. Amen.
Just so you know. It means that the state government, the national government, is not allowed to dictate what religion should be. And it also means that religion isn't supposed to tell the government what to do like the Catholic Church does. Catholic Church and the Vatican is its own nation and its own country, and the Pope is an ambassador to all countries with full ambassadorship power. That is a violation of church and state. That's why it wasn't until, just so you know, the popes didn't come to America for an awfully long time, not till my lifetime, not till after JFK. Never had been a pope here. Say why? Separation of church and state. Read your history, find out. Number three, I got to hurry. God gave sinful man a book full of recipes by which to fix his life and the situations that come up in life. It's called the Word of God. Right there's your recipe book.
Yes, sir.
God says you're messed up, you sinned, and every man's going to sin. So I'll give you a book full of recipes by which to live your life. We don't need new versions of it. We need the one God gave us.
Amen. That's right.
We don't need the ones tainted by people that think they're religious. We need the one God gave us.
Amen.
You need the old King James Bible.
That's right.
This is why God doesn't need us changing methods. He said, use the methods that are in the book. This isn't just a book of message. It is a book of methods. House to house. Person to person. Door to door. God said baptize them. That's what that's for. You don't baptize them with one of these. Say, what is that? Methods. Everybody doing okay? He not only gave us the message, he gave us the methods by which to do it. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall teach others also. The same. Key word. The same. Keep the same recipe. Using the Bible with the Holy Spirit can help anybody in any situation in life. Let me say that again. The Holy Spirit with the Bible can help any situation in life.
That's right. Good for you.
I'm meeting with that businessman today, and he said, I've never met anybody that could take any topic I talked about, show me in the Bible what the Bible has to say about it, and fix what's happening. Mm-hmm. He said, you're different. I said, no, they're different. This is what God said.
Amen.
He said, you got that backwards. God put all the recipes in the Bible by which we can live. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 4 for a second. I'm going to show you something. I thought this was neat. You might not like it as much as I did, but on you. Matthew chapter 4. We're talking about recipes. Are you ready? We're talking about the Bible being the recipe book, correct? Look at Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Guess what? Bread takes a recipe to make it. And the recipe for the bread was the word of God that proceeded out of his mouth. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Guess what? He also said, I am the Word of God. So the Word of God and the recipe for the bread of life is Jesus Christ and the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
I didn't say it. God did. So he's given us a book. He gave us the Word of God. And when you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God that moves inside you that'll work with the Word of God while it's being read, while it's being preached, while it's being thought of. And God can use that to help you in life.
Yes, sir.
Number four, and I'm done. What is a recipe? Now we're going to bring it down to where we live. Now it's time for the meat and taters, not the Chateaubriand. You didn't think I could say that, did you?
I had
to work real hard at it. I'm sorry. What is a recipe? The definition of a recipe is this: a set of instructions for preparing a particular dish, including a list of ingredients. Something which is likely to lead to a particular outcome, or the instruction of a medical prescription. A recipe is something that can be repeated over and over and over and over again with the same outcome. You can buy a bottle of Bayer aspirin, and you can pull the one out that you got in 1942, and it'll be the same prescription. It'll be the same recipe. It'll do the same thing. Say why? Because they didn't change the recipe. The moment they change the recipe for a medical prescription, they have to give it a different name because it's different, and it will affect people biologically differently. Even one slight little milligram difference, they have to change it. Say why? Because it's a different recipe. Now listen to this. Every recipe has a list of ingredients. Every recipe has some mixing that needs done. Every recipe, usually, most recipes, either have to be put to the heat through the oven or put in the refrigerator to be made cold. It takes a temperature difference. Now watch this. There are some things and some recipes in this book, you like it all till the heat gets put to it. Then when the heat turns on, you're running away. Here's the problem. Nobody wants to sit down at dinner and eat biscuits that haven't been baked. You talk about creamed biscuits, man, they're creamed everywhere. Now, I don't mind eating a little bit of dough now and then, but I just don't like reaching into a bucket load of biscuit dough and start chewing on it. Now, cookie dough, that's another story. But that biscuit dough, that's kind of slimy and just kind of snotty. It just kind of like somebody, anyway, it's just a bunch of goo. Can I tell you something? Nobody likes that goo, but you put that goo in the oven and let it bake for a while, and man, you're going to be slapping each other to get to them first.
Amen.
It took the heat, not just the mixing. Didn't take just the right ingredients. It took the heat to go through it as well. Guess what? Not all of God's recipes feel good. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went through the heat. They went into the furnace. Matter of fact, they went under the broiler. They came out okay. There are things that a Christian life, a man asked me just today, just don't understand why bad things happen to good people. I said, because good people are sinners too. Plain and simple. He said, well, I never thought about it that way. I said, yeah. And I said, everybody around them sinners. I said, just because you're saved doesn't mean your problems go away. I said, if you stop sinning? He said, no. I said, wonder why good people have bad things happen. He said, man, you make it too simple. I said, I didn't make it simple. God did. Folks, every recipe has to have heat applied. I've got to quit. But let me say this. The Bible is God's recipe book. His instructions are not difficult. By the way, listen to this. He provides all the ingredients, and he gives us a sous chef or an assistant called the Holy Spirit to help us with every recipe. Do you know that he gave you every ingredient for everything you need in your life? And if you're saved, he gave you a sous chef to help you prepare it, help you get it together so that you can put it together the right way and it comes out the right way. The Christian life is not difficult. God made it easy for us because he wants us to be with him. Let me say it this way. The Christian life is far simpler than people make it. Follow God's recipes, And it turns out right.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't say everything was always tasteful at the time. There are some spices in life that can get bitter. And if you bake them too long, they get real bitter. Did you ever taste burnt garlic? That's enough to make you want to change recipes. But there are some things you can, there are some spices that you've got to heat them up to bloom them so that they get their full impact. Brother Larry and I were making deer bologna. And he said, now preacher, he said, I got a bottle of this stuff, but you only want to use a little bit of it. And I said, all right. I opened it up and I took a snoot full. And boy, I didn't have sinus troubles for 2 weeks. I said, good night. What is it? It is dried, crushed ghost peppers. I think we used a quarter teaspoon of it in about 30 pounds of meat. Oh, yeah, they're about the second or third hottest pepper in the world. Oh, let me tell you, you don't want to go and put that back on your tongue. You're going to go out back and open up the faucet on the hose on the house and just let it gurgle out. And then you're going to moan and groan for about 3 days. It'll change your life. A little goes a long way. You eat that deer bologna and get this faint little heat in the back of your throat. And you say, what is that? That's called a ghost chili. A pepper, a heat. The farther back the heat is, the hotter the pepper was. The hotter the spice. It's not hot out front. It's after you swallowed it that you go, uh-oh. Uh-oh. Can I tell you something? God gave us a recipe book. That's all we got to do is read it. Follow it. If we don't understand it, we get help with it. But he also gave us an assistant cook, a sous chef called the Holy Spirit. And he'll help you as you read it, find the recipes. We'll be teaching about those recipes, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. The Christian life really isn't hard. If it's hard, it's because man has complicated it.